This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bills come in on a roll. They've won 7 of the last 8. And after a 3 seats at the MVP table, Josh Allen's grabbing one of those.
Yeah, I don't know if Bill Belichick would agree with you on that. He talking with him this week, he didn't buy into the Josh Allen craze. He said, you know what? We actually played pretty good defense against Josh Allen when we played in November. And you know that Bill Belichick will have something cooked up for Josh Allen. If you think the Buffalo Bills are just going to roll the ball to the 50-yard line and take a victory lap around Gillette Stadium, that man has another thing coming.
Yeah, look, there was no question that Bill really got fired up when we were talking to him about potentially being swept, Josh Allen being one of the MVP favorites. He was not having any of it. And I can guarantee you he coached his football team about as hard as he probably coached it all year long leading up into this game.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 Sports Hub, simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Again, the vacations continue, so no Felger, no Mass. It's me, Big Jim Murray, here alongside Ted Johnson, Matt McCarthy, my normal spot, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, with us for the next hour. In the email chain that we had going this morning, Greg, Ted, I know you guys have some strong feelings on this, and it's not ESPN lies. They're making it all up. Greg, we'll start with you. What did you make of these comments made by the broadcast crew during Monday night's game?
I think that Bill definitely said those comments. I agree with Bill. We are on the same page about Josh Allen. He's much better than I thought he was going to be. He's now a good player. I think he's been inflated this season a bit. Nobody goes from 58% to 69% completion percentage in the NFL just from, oh, he worked on his mechanics like in the offseason. Like, I'm sorry. It doesn't happen.
Well, a lot of it's got to do with Daboll, right?
Yeah.
Yes, a lot of it. Yep. A lot of things have gone really well for the Bills this year. From Brian Daboll has been tremendous. Stephon Diggs is more of an MVP candidate than Josh Allen is. He has made the difference. Beasley, all three receivers have been healthy all year. They played from ahead. Josh Allen is one of the, they have good protection. Josh Allen is one of the best in the league from a clean pocket. He's in the middle of the pack, against pressure. The Patriots got no pressure on him. On Monday night, so that was part of the issue. So Bill and I are on the same page about Josh Allen. I don't think it's about Josh Allen. I think it's about everything else in Buffalo, even though Josh Allen has played a part in that. And I think, boy, I bet you Belichick is freaking pissed off that first Brian Griese and then Louis Riddick did him dirty on national television, because I believe Belichick said that. And for those guys to reveal that stuff, which is supposed to be off the record, just background, to go and say, oh, well, Bill Belichick told us this. Man, I would be surprised if he ever cooperated with that Monday night crew if they stick together.
Oh, man, you can forget it. I mean, that crew will never get anything out of Bill. My feeling is any production meeting moving forward, if those three are together, I think they do a pretty good job. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out the Monday night thing. I think those guys do a good job, but point is, Bill won't give them anything. He won't put his guard down at all, because he last thing he wanted was for that information to get out there, and for Riddick to kind of double down on what Greasy said. I found to be fact. So you can just tell that there was a clear kind of opinion expressed by Bill Belichick that they understood that he just did not respect what Josh Allen. You know what? You know why Bill's saying that? Because if you look at Josh Allen's numbers against Bill Belichick before that game, they were terrible.
Yeah,
they were terrible. And Bill, I think, Greg, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think Bill judges everything. This is why I'm trying to figure out the Adam Gase kind of thing, the love affair, because Bill doesn't make a final kind of opinion, I think, on coaches or teams or players until he's played them. Until he, okay, let's see what they can do against my scheme, against my coach teams. And so Josh Allen has never had a good performance against Bill, and so that's probably why he felt the way he did.
But, Ted, you mentioned in the email chain, too, that you felt the game plan that he called highlights how he actually feels about Josh Allen and has backed up what he said.
Yep. Yeah, and I'll give you my reason why. And Greg just mentioned it. There was no pressure on Josh Allen. Part of that was by design. I mean, look, I say they were rushing. They weren't doing a lot of twists or stunts. They were not leaving their lanes. They were very controlled in their pass rush. Exact same game plan that you saw against Deshaun Watson. Okay, and Bill's like, you know what? We're gonna just rush three or four guys, and we're not gonna take a lot of chances in our rushes, because he was more worried about Josh Allen escaping the pocket or hurting them with his feet than he was with his arm. And so they played a lot of coverage. And they had guys covered, and Josh Allen was still making the throws, and he did not anticipate that, much like he did not anticipate Deshaun Watson tearing him apart like he did. It was the exact same game plan, and you could just tell he didn't respect him because he thought, well, he won't make the throws. No, he made the throws.
Pete in Plainville. So, oh, go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say on Josh Allen, you know, early on in this, is where I see Josh Allen at this point is he's a very streaky quarterback. First four games of the season, he was over, I think, like 104 or better QB rating. And then he went about 6, 7, 8 games where he was sort of middle of the road, and now he's hot. And we'll see where he is in the playoffs. But I think what Bill's talking about with Josh Allen is when you turn on the film, because I heard about the Josh Allen craze, and I'm like, wait a minute, am I completely nuts? Like, was I completely wrong on Josh Allen? So I went and I watched the first four games, and I'm like, holy crap, Brian Daboll's doing a great job of making him comfortable, doing what, you know, accentuating his positives, minimizing his weaknesses. There were even times in this game where I'm like, geez, that's a really nice call by Daboll. You know, he knows what the Patriots are trying to do, putting guys in conflict, things like that. And to flip that over to Adam Gase, you know, Ted, when Gase was in Miami, what he did with Ryan Tannehill a lot, he did a lot of really good things. Now, he's a crappy head coach. Mm-hmm. But as an offensive coordinator, in terms of knowing what the defense wants to do and how you exploit that and things like that, Adam's really good at that. Yep. And I think he would be really good here as an offensive coordinator at some point.
Fair point, yep.
Pete in Plainville, next here on Felger and Maz with Ted Johnson and Greg Bedard. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just real quick on Allen. It's not really why I wanted to call, but isn't it different to say that Allen's been an MVP candidate this year, but maybe not a great quarterback moving forward? Like, maybe just having a great year, and, you know, we'll find out as he progresses as a quarterback. I think he's been pretty good this year.
Matt Ryan won one 4 years ago, and he kind of sucks.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, exactly. So, I kind of disagree. I think he's been an MVP candidate. I don't know if he's going to be a great player. I think he's pretty good, but we'll see. The reason I called was, you guys have talked about, like, the Patriots, you know, their lack of talent. And like I go back to the year after they lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles with the, you know, sitting Butler. And then if you look at that draft, that was the year Gronk was, you know, doing, you know, it was reported he might retire. Then he did that press conference. And then if you look at that draft, the Pats draft win 23, and then they draft, you know, Michelle. I think it was at 31. If you look at the second round, Gesicki gets taken, Dallas Goedert gets taken, and in the third round, Mark Andrews gets taken. So, like, everybody misses on guys. Like, you know, I think it's unfair to be like, well, Belichick's the worst GM. He's not the worst GM. Everybody misses. But when you look at what they needed, you know, three guys right there that I don't know if Gesicki's a franchise tight end, but I think the other two guys are. And Greg, real quick, and Ted, I just wanted to ask you, you know, moving forward at the tight end position, does Ertz have anything left, or is, you know, he an old 30? Thanks, guys.
Not for what he wants to get paid. I mean, his whole issue with the Eagles, he's under contract for next year, and I think he's making a decent amount of coin. But he has already stated he's not going to play for that. And screw that. If he wants to get paid, I'm not giving Zach Ertz a big contract. He is not worth that. He is not going to be worth that at any point in time. So he can go kick rocks.
Look, Zach Ertz is just, let's face it, he came into the league on fire, and in the last couple of years, you really haven't heard much from him. And I know he's hurt. But he might be the second best tight end, or at least he was.
Goddard's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have 10 questions from around the NFL coming up with Greg Bedard here on Felger and Maz. We'll continue to take your calls on the Patriots and where they go from here, and as they play out the string against the Jets coming up on Sunday. 617-779-0985. But 10 questions coming up next here on Felger and Maz.
Sports. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports.
So, you're a business that's thriving. But then, oh, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
App. Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bills come in on a roll. They've won 7 of the last 8. And after a 3 seats at the MVP table, Josh Allen's grabbing one of those.
Yeah, I don't know if Bill Belichick would agree with you on that. He talking with him this week, he didn't buy into the Josh Allen craze. He said, you know what? We actually played pretty good defense against Josh Allen when we played in November. And you know that Bill Belichick will have something cooked up for Josh Allen. If you think the Buffalo Bills are just going to roll the ball to the 50-yard line and take a victory lap around Gillette Stadium, that man has another thing coming.
Yeah, look, there was no question that Bill really got fired up when we were talking to him about potentially being swept, Josh Allen being one of the MVP favorites. He was not having any of it. And I can guarantee you he coached this football team about as hard as he probably coached it all year long leading up into this game.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 Sports Hub, simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Again, the vacations continue, so no Felger, no Mass. It's me, Big Jim Murray, here alongside Ted Johnson, Matt McCarthy, my normal spot, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, with us for the next hour. In the email chain that we had going this morning, Greg, Ted, I know you guys have some strong feelings on this, and it's not ESPN lies. They're making it all up. Greg, we'll start with you. What did you make of these comments made by the broadcast crew during Monday night's game?
I think that Bill definitely said those comments. I agree with Bill. We are on the same page about Josh Allen. He's much better than I thought he was going to be. He's now a good player. I think
life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
Getting you through the afternoon, one take at a time.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that thing.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now the radio.com app. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yep, time for 10 questions here on Felger and Mass. And no Felger, no Mass today. Jim Murray, Ted Johnson, and those guys' normal spots. Matt McCarthy is in my normal spot, and we have Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. We have 4 buzzer options, I am told, by Billy Lanny, who is helping to produce the show today. Billy Lanny, Brian Robb behind the glass. Billy, what do we got?
How about if I let you know if we're going to make a change?
Ooh. Next.
Good, thanks, Bill.
Poor Mike Reese. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Definitely want to do that.
What's that?
Josh?
Josh McDaniel saying he wants the hell out of here and he wants to become the head coach.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up. Go ahead. And finally, Billy.
You know, I found out this week, a lot of people order Chinese food for New Year's.
I mean, everyone's done that since the dawn of time.
And Zoe, seriously?
Zoe just finds out about that on Sunday. On
Good
Monday
God.
Yeah. All right, we'll start with that one, Billy. Go ahead.
I want to probably let you know if we're going to make a change.
All right. Angry Bill Belichick. Question number 10. Jessup. Who is the NFL coach of the year, in your opinion, Greg?
I went with Brian Flores. I think he's done a really nice job. I mean, he's sort of walking the tightrope on this quarterback situation, and we'll see if they actually make the playoffs after, you know, week 17. But I would say to this point, I think Flores. I think the Dolphins have done a really nice job.
I agree. That's Brian Flores, 10-5. This team's ahead of where they thought they would be, I think, at this point. I think he's done an impressive job. That defense, when you saw him week one against the Patriots, did not look that good, and you see what they are now. And then I would say honorable mention would be Kevin Stefanski there with the Browns.
Sean McDermott, he's done a hell of a job with the Bills, molding them into, I think, you know, maybe a legitimate Super Bowl contender, the second-best team in the AFC. He's done a great job.
The correct answer is Brian Flores, that you don't have a full-fledged quarterback controversy or any wives or girlfriends like a Miko Grimes type saying, it should be Fitzpatrick, he should be the starter, it should be Tua, any of that, none of that's happening there. He's handled it beautifully. Next.
Good. Thanks, Bill.
True or false? The Pittsburgh Steelers' problems are behind them, and they are now a serious threat in the AFC playoffs.
False. They're done. Roethlisberger, I can't believe he's talking about coming back next year. Like, he looks like he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to get hit. The defense still can't cover anybody. They're done. They're not a threat.
They win a lot of regular games, though, regular season games, don't they, usually? But, this team will go as far as the quarterback will him to go, and I just don't think he's got that, you know, that edge that you need. So
False. They're going out in the first round. They're done. See you later.
See ya.
Next.
Absolutely. Definitely want to do that.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are going to get Trevor Lawrence. Should they also hire his coach at Clemson, Dabo Swinney?
No. You need a pro coach. This isn't the college game. It just doesn't work. I covered Nick Saban in Miami, and he's probably the greatest college coach, you know, that ever lived, and he couldn't cut it in the NFL. It's just these guys find it gets really hard. They're like, oh, I just can't bring in a 5-star, you know, cornerback for next year, and they just get frustrated. It wouldn't work. It might work for a little bit, but teams would catch on to the offense. It just wouldn't work long term.
Yep, no way, no how. Dabo Swinney, I met him a couple years ago in Houston. And you know what? All those great college head coaches, if you ever meet them, they all kind of have a common denominator. And you get around them, they can sell cereal, baby. They are salesmen, and they are dynamic, and they, you know what? At the pro level, nobody wants to hear all that. No one's going to listen.
I'm out on college coaches for all the reasons you guys just mentioned. No.
And quickly, just Greg, wouldn't that be a perfect spot for Brian Daboll?
Yeah, I mean, I know Brian. I don't know what kind of head coach he is. You know, some guys are just good coordinators. Yep. And I don't know how he would command a room of an entire team. I've never seen him in front of a room. So that's sort of how I judge head coaching candidates. And I don't know his thoughts on building a defense and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, sure, in abstract. I mean, I think that McDaniels and Daboll should be up for, you know, the Chargers, the Jaguars, the Jets. I think Daboll might make a good that might make a good place for him.
Yeah, I'm curious if Daboll's even wants to be a head coach. I haven't heard that being floated out there. Sometimes, you know, people are just more comfortable in that supporting role than they are at the main role. You know?
Well, let's get
that's out there. That's actually out there. I'm hearing that more and more. That first of all, Daboll's from up there. And also the Pegulas might make him some sort of godfather offer to stay as offensive coordinator. And really, they should, because as soon as he leaves, wait till you see the regression that Josh Allen has.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get to another coaching question then. Go ahead, Billy.
You know, I found out this week, a lot of people order Chinese food for New Year's.
Marvin Lewis has reportedly been drawing head coaching interest throughout the NFL. Should he? And if so, who should hire him?
No, definitely not hire Marvin Lewis. I remember there was an owners meeting, I think when the Bengals were about to give Andy Dalton a humongous contract extension, and he and I went back and forth, like, pretty heated about, like, I was like, well, why do you think Andy Dalton's the guy to give a con? And it just, it was a fun exchange, but I was right. He was wrong. He should not be head coach.
If you're an owner of an NFL team and you're wondering if you should hire Marvin Lewis, go watch Hard Knocks when they went to Cleveland a few years ago, and that should pretty much take care of that.
Absolutely not. You want to be mediocre for the rest of eternity? No, stay away from Marvin Lewis.
And this is one of these things that is just continuing to be a problem in the NFL, that these old retreads get jobs again. Like, no. But he took Cincinnati, a failing team, to the playoffs time and again, and he always lost. Next.
I'm going to probably let you know if we're going to make a change.
Well, the Patriots are going to see Sam Darnold at quarterback for the Jets on Sunday. Will Sam Darnold still be a New York Jet in 2021? And if not, who will he be playing for?
He should be. I think he's the best option. I think you keep him there. I think any head coaching candidate will go in there and tell him Sam Darnold is not the problem. The problem is, you know, you're not running the room and there's no structure here. There's no culture. Sam Darnold is part of the solution. He's not the problem, and I think he should be there, and they should fill in around him. They already started with Becton because that guy is awesome.
He's a moose.
You know what head coaches want to do when they become new head coaches? They want to coach as long as they can as the head coach, and the best way to do that is to kind of string it out. Why would a head coach go in there and then say, hey, you know what, let's get rid of Sam Darnold? They're going to try and work with him. They're going to try and mold him, and then they're going to get a year or two to kind of try and fix him, and if they can't, they're going to be given a chance to get the new guy in there. It was kind of remarkable that they hired Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, and he decided from the very beginning he didn't want Josh Rosen, right?
Yeah.
And he got rid of him. Coaches, they'll last longer. Bill O'Brien, keep the bridge quarterback for a couple of years, and then go get your guy, and that buys you more time.
Yeah, I think, you know, now that they don't end up with Trevor Lawrence, I give Darnold another shot there with the new, you know, coach who's not a complete and total moron. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm the Jets, I keep him.
Next.
Good, thanks, Bill.
Fill in the blank. With just a week remaining in the regular season, the NFL's pandemic season has been...
meh. I mean, it's been fine. It's been, you know, it's been something to watch. I don't know. There just hasn't been any pizzazz to the season. I mean, I think the NFL experience, the college football experience, you really miss the fans and the emotion of it. And I think that's been missing from the games. And, you know, is it the biggest problem in the world? No, but just, I don't know. I just haven't been all that entertained this season.
I would say failure, you know, if it's a success or failure. I'd say failure in the sense that if you're always kind of talking about, you know, what, trying to make it fair and competitive balance, there is no competitive balance this year. Now you can say, okay, the teams that are at the top, those are probably going to be the teams that were at the top anyway. But I don't know. You can make an argument. Maybe the COVID kind of derailed the Steelers. Maybe even the Patriots, right? And so there are some teams that might argue with you that, hey, you know what? This just wasn't a fair season. So there was nothing fair about this season. And so in that regard, I think it's a failure.
It's been good. I love chaos. The best game of the year was that Broncos game where they had to start that guy who would like never played quarterback before.
Right.
Bring it on. I love watching the world burn. It's been great.
I would say a wonderful distraction. It hasn't been perfect at all, but I'm glad that we still have it. Next.
Absolutely. Definitely want to do that.
It has been a decade since a 6 seed has won the Super Bowl. That would be the Green Bay Packers. Couldn't you see any of the 6 or 7 seeds pulling that off this postseason? Currently, it's Browns, Ravens, Bears, Rams.
Not in the NFC. In the AFC, yes, with Baltimore, and also if Miami slips down to that spot, I think they have a chance. I think both could do well. Baltimore starting to get hot. They're a team that sort of... you know, comes to play when the chips are on the line. Marcus Peters doesn't like to play otherwise. So we'll have to see. But I do think the AFC has a chance to get an underdog to emerge. The NFC, no.
Yeah, I'm gonna say no on both of the NFC and AFC teams. The Ravens, Lamar Jackson's been in the playoffs the last 2 years, and he just hasn't risen up to the kind of the moment. And so I'm not, until he's able to handle the big spots, I'm not going to be a buyer, a believer in the Ravens. And the Browns are still the Browns with Baker Mayfield. I think his douche level is very, very high. And I don't think he can, I don't think he's the guy to really be a contending championship team. So I don't believe in any of the 6 or 7 seeds in any of the conferences.
Call me crazy. I think it could happen in the NFC. I don't really like the teams at the top in the NFC. The Saints are nothing but a playoff failure. I don't buy in on the Packers. We saw them last year. I don't buy in on the Seahawks defense. I'm going down with the ship on the Rams are going to the Super Bowl take.
Wow.
I'm take committed on this. I think if they get it there, I don't rule it out. I could see it happening in the NFC. I think that conference is wide open.
Next.
Can I find out this week? A lot of people order Chinese food for New Year's.
So the aforementioned Chicago Bears, over the past month or so, they've had like the best offense in the NFL. Their record under Matt Nagy, when Mitch Trubisky starts, is now 25-12. That's real. Look it up. Should the Bears sign Trubisky to a new deal or move on at quarterback?
Hell no. He's terrible. I don't care what the record says. They've played soft schedules at times. It's a terrible division. No.
Move on. If Nagy's still the coach there, I would move on. That it just hasn't worked out. You've pulled him a couple times in your tenure there. Why continue to go down that road?
Anybody who wants Mitch Trubisky as their quarterback is on crack. No.
I can't believe this is being reported. Now, Adam Schefter had that yesterday. Like, no, they're looking into extending him. Reap what you sow, Bears. Wow. You'll continue to have another terrible quarterback, mm-hmm. which is like the calling card. Your best quarterback in that franchise's history is literally Jay Cutler. Next.
I want to probably let you know if we're going to make a change.
Can you give a movie or show recommendation to any bitchy Patriots fans who say they're going to refuse to watch the NFL playoffs because they're giant babies?
I would go. My one recommendation would be Ozark. I was a big fan of that. I wasn't a Netflix guy before quarantine, but caught up a bunch of stuff. I love that show. Watching Succession right now. I've dug it. One thing I would not recommend that I didn't get into that I was surprised. Stranger Things. I wasn't that big of a fan.
Preach. It's so overrated. Ted?
A big fan of Ozark, man. I was not a Netflix guy, just like you, Greg. But besides Ozark, I recommend Mindhunter and also Queen's Gambit on Netflix.
Queen's Gambit is my pick. It's phenomenal. Also, it's only 7 episodes, which is great if you're opposed to commitment like me. Many people have told me that. Matt McCarthy, you are opposed to commitment. I love it. It is fantastic.
The final episode, one of the best you'll see in any show, right?
Unreal. Yep. So good.
Great show, and she's a doll. Next. She's a
doll. Good. Thanks, Bill.
All right, final question. The year is 2024. Is Bill Belichick still the head coach of the New England Patriots?
Yes. I mean, what else is he going to do?
I don't know. Maybe enjoy the good life on your boat in Nantucket. I'm with you. Greg, I disagree with you. I'm going to say no. I think he's going to be done and retired at that point. That's still that's a long way away. And I just think this year will take a lot out of you. I don't see it getting any better in the next year or two.
He'll still be here because he'll still be trying to chase down Don Shula. Maybe. He hates Don Shula. Yeah. He wants to break that record so badly. He won't have done it by then, particularly with the way things are trending. So he's going to limp to the finish on that one, but he'll still be here.
Don Shula's not on this earth, the RIP anymore, but he still wants to get Don Shula.
Oh, yeah,
Don
he does. Yeah.
All right, so concludes 10 questions for this week. We come back. More of your calls for Greg Bedard, Ted Johnson here on Felger and Maz. First, though, the headlines with McCarthy.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And so one more, and just because we won't talk to you again this season, do you still have aspirations to become a head coach again?
Absolutely. Definitely want to do that. I'd love to have the opportunity if it presents itself.
Welcome back, Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Ted Johnson, Matt McCarthy, and Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal with us for a few more segments. That's Patriots OC Josh McDaniels yesterday answering the question of becoming a head coach. And I feel like for the first time, very definitive with the yes. Like, he wants to be a head coach. And
thanks for asking that question, actually. Yes.
Matt, I'll actually start with you, though, because you had some strong feelings in the email chain. You feel like he doesn't deserve another chance. Why?
No way. When has he ever been successful without Tom Brady? Here's a guy who failed in Denver, failed in St. Louis. They had like the worst offense in the league when he was the offensive coordinator there. And now Tom Brady's gone and you're not riding the coattails of Tom Brady, and you are the person responsible and in charge of, you know, one of the league's worst offenses this year. And now all of a sudden you're gung ho on, you know, wanting to be an wanting to be a head coach elsewhere after leaving the Colts at the altar a few years ago, after removing your name from consideration in countless head coaching searches over the last few years. Now all of a sudden you're gung ho on this and you want to go all in. Why? Because you realize that your stock's going to start plummeting once people realize you were a product of Tom Brady. I think, you know, it's completely fraudulent.
Let me ask you this, though, Matthew,
why is it fraudulent for him to say he wants to be a head coach? Why is that fraudulent?
No, I think his performance has been fraudulent. Again,
hang on a second.
Yeah.
So you're more of a baseball guy.
Yeah, okay? That's correct.
I'm not even sure whether you know whether the football's puffed or stuffed.
Ooh, baby, Greg.
So what do you think, Dave? How do you think Dave Bush did last year as pitching coach of the Red Sox?
Yeah, not a good job.
What did he have to work with last year?
Nothing.
What starting pitching did he have last year?
Nothing. That's
so
my
you
point,
expected
though.
Him to, so you expected him to squeeze water out of a rock.
Well, Greg,
last year.
Isn't
like,
that
wait, hang on.
Okay.
Where would you rate Cam Newton in terms of NFL quarterbacks?
Dead last.
What about their wide receiver room?
Bottom five.
Tight end room.
Dead last.
So what do you expect Josh McDaniels to do? You say he hasn't done anything without Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do when Matt Castle was quarterback?
Did a pretty good job.
What did he do when he had Kyle Orton in Denver for a year?
He got fired a year and a half into the job because he was a complete and total disaster.
Yeah, look, you could say whatever you want about McDaniels, about what he did in Indy, totally valid,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, St. Louis. I mean, they were, I think they were winless. They were freaking horrible. But for you to indict McDaniels on what happened here and say that he's ridden the coattails of Tom Brady, I just think is... It's completely wrong. I mean, you can't expect an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. That's why I haven't really ripped Steve Belichick very much this year either, because they're not any good. Like you can't function as an offensive coordinator when your quarterback can't even complete, you know, baseline plays in this offense. You can't do it when Ryan Izzo isn't setting the pick for a third down conversion. Like, the Patriots suck. They mm-hmm. suck in offense. They don't have an NFL quarterback. They don't have any NFL wide receivers. They don't have any NFL tight ends. So for this team to actually, I don't know, through the midway point of the season, before, I don't know what happened to Cam Newton, but he fell off a map. For the middle of the season, you know, this offense outperformed Tom Brady's offense in Tampa. You know, it's fallen off since then mm-hmm. because the talent has won out. But... I mean, for you to say that Josh McDaniels somehow should have done more with what he's doing here, and I don't think his answer to being a head coach has been any different than what he's been before, what he said before. You know, I just think it's completely false, and I just think that there are too many things in an NFL that goes on with an NFL team to say because the offense isn't any good, it's the offensive coordinator's fault.
Matthew,
I just think
that's wrong. Let me ask you a question. You know, you said that you would not hire Josh McDaniels because he hasn't done anything without Tom. Would you want to remove that last part without Tom Brady? Or because my point is, if Bill Belichick, let's just theoretically say he didn't have a job in the NFL mm-hmm. next year, and you know, would you hire Bill Belichick as your next head coach?
Absolutely, I would. But
he hasn't won without Tom Brady.
Yeah, and here's the point. It's not entirely about, you know, what he's done with Tom Brady.
Okay.
That's
right.
A factor in there. It's also that this guy left the Colts at the altar a few years ago. He's removed his name from consideration. How many times he's backed out of, you know, job searches, this, that, and the other thing. It's the timing that I find completely fraudulent about this. Now, all of a sudden, you realize your stock's going to start going down because you're, you know, in charge of an offense that's one of the worst in the league. Greg, you know, fair point about the personnel, fair point about the quarterback. But now, all of a sudden, now is the right time for you to start looking at a job. I mean, that's what I find totally and completely fraudulent about all of this.
I just think that's wrong. I think he's been looking for multiple years. I think he's been available.
Yep.
Yes, he's pulled his name from consideration from some places.
And he took a job.
He
took a job and bailed on it. I wouldn't want anything to do with that guy.
All right. That's fine. And that's completely mm-hmm. valid.
Well,
and he might never get past that. And that's valid. But, you know, the other, he's been available. He's been interviewing. He knew Cleveland wasn't going to work out. He really kind of – Bill kind of screwed him in terms of timing with Carolina and especially the Giants, that Joe Judge got to interview with them and McDaniels didn't for a variety of reasons. And, you know, but he's not available now. It's not he's jumping ship, anything like that. He's been available. It's just, yeah, you know, he's answering a little bit more definitively.
All right, I interrupt this bitch fest for breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, the rule always is on this show, one source and go with it, but this seems like a pretty reputable source. Reading from Ken Campbell, senior writer at the Hockey News on Twitter, who just posted minutes ago, he has been told that Zdeno Chara, shockingly, just signed with the Washington Capitals. So now we're waiting a second source, an actual blue check mark, but reading from our own Ty Anderson, who just tweeted, "What the F?" I feel like this is official news. Chara gone. Again, Ken Campbell of the Hockey News, senior writer, tweeting, "I've been told Zdeno Chara has shockingly just signed with the Washington Capitals."
What's more shocking about it? Did they sign him or that he wanted to go there?
The latter, to me. I felt like he was either going to retire or they would have him here in sort of a lesser role. But even if he is signing with them, good for him. I mean, he's probably got a
42 years old.
Certainly
right,
a better opportunity to win a cup with that team and the team that's here. But we'll continue to unpack this. Wait for a second source. But it does sound like Zdeno Chara, his days with the Boston Bruins over. As 2020 continues to kick all of us.
Crazy, isn't it?
Right in the jimmy. One more segment to go with Greg Bedard. We'll come back to this Josh McDaniels conversation, too, because I still feel like that was such a definitive answer by him. And it's usually, like most of these guys, hem and haw, so I wonder if he really wants to get the F out of here more than anything else. And we'll mix in some of your calls as well here on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass. You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Mass.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back. Long commercial free segment here on Felger and Mass. Jim Murray, Ted Johnson in for Mike and Tony today. Got Matt McCarthy alongside my normal spot. Our final segment here with Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. It has been confirmed, by the way. I'll have more on this story coming up in just about 8 minutes. Zdeno Chara has confirmed his departure from the Boston Bruins on Instagram. We'll read that to you. We'll also be joined by Ty Anderson of 98.5sportshub.com coming up at 4 o'clock. But I want to run through more calls here because you've been waiting a while with Greg. But real quickly, Greg, just going back to the little tit-for-tat that you just had there with Matt McCarthy when it came to Josh McDaniels, just the definitiveness of his answer. Again, I feel like it's usually like, we'll see what happens, we'll see what opportunities may come up. It's like, get me out of here. Do you think there is something of like, maybe he sees this as a sinking ship, and that's why he would love that one more opportunity, whether it's with the Chargers, Jacksonville, wherever?
No, I think he wants another chance, and I do think he sees some opportunities out there that he would be effective in, like especially the Chargers. Ugh. I mean, with Justin Herbert already there.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're talking about, you know, Josh McDaniels. The Chargers need somebody who can come in and hit the ground running. They can't go with an offense coordinator who's never been a head coach before or a college coach or what have you. Josh McDaniels knows how you compete against the Chiefs. You need somebody to bring in there that knows how to compete, knows how to beat the Chiefs. I mean, look at what they've done against the Chiefs in the past couple of years. So I think that's a good opportunity. I think that, see, the difference there, I was looking back on his quotes. There has been a change in tone, but there's been a change in the Patriots situation. You know, looking back to last year, he was like, I'm focused on Tennessee. I'm not really, you know, they're in the playoffs. I mean, that's the way things go around here. Other times he's talked at the Super Bowl, the previous 2 years, I think it was. And he talked about, you know, wanting to be a head coach again. I can remember all the Colts, reporters there, I think before the Eagles Super Bowl or what have you, talking to him about the job. And he, you know, we talked about wanting to be a head coach again, but I think he's just definitive now because the Patriots are out of it. I mean, he doesn't have to protect anything or protect anybody. So he's available to be a little bit more open.
If I'm an NFL owner, I'm watching, you know, that what happened with the Colts would scare the hell out of me. But then I would also kind of just, how's he been since? The humility, has he, you know, how's he handled it? Has he been kind of professional about it? Has he owned up to it? I think he has. And so it's the behavior after that event that I would be most focused on. I don't know, you know, does he deserve a second chance? Well, this would be a third chance. I think he does. So, and if I'm him and you look at the two spots that are open, you know, probably the LA Chargers will be open. And the Texans is going to be open.
Get him with a quarterback. That's what, if I'm an owner.
It's one of those two, but I think I'd almost lean more towards L.A.
Mike in Framingham, you're next here on Felger and Mass with Greg Bedard. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I was most fascinated just recently with the conversation about McDaniels. I thought his play calling this year was awful. particularly in the red zone. It seemed like the defense always knew exactly what he was going to call. And that's one of the things I wanted to call in and talk about. Also, that Belichick did not have a very good year coaching. Everybody wants to talk about the fact that he didn't surround himself with any good players, but he also did a lousy job coaching. That's about it. That's all I wanted to say.
Look, and there's been times I've been critical of him in the past. I think for the most part, he's made chicken salad out of chicken crap. I lean towards more where you are, Greg. Like, you know, he's dialed up as many trick plays as you possibly can, even if it's against crap teams like Denver earlier. I get why you got to do it against the Bills. You just didn't connect on that one early, which I thought might have been Cam Newton's best pass of the year, the one that clanged off of, who was it, whose face mask? Either way.
Demir Byrd.
Thank you. So I think he's trying to work with not a lot here. So, I mean, look, does he do too many sometimes jet sweeps, things of that nature? Yes. But again, I think he's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken crap.
Yeah, I wanted to laugh because I'm just like, I mean, this is just typical that, you know, somebody calls in and rips Josh McDaniels, and especially in the red zone, when he dials up a perfect trick play on Monday night and it clangs off the receiver's hands. I mean, if that just encapsulates the whole Patriots offense this year, everything that they've tried. I mean, look, of course, McDaniels, there's been play calls that he would like to have back, and certainly some that I've been like, you know, why the hell are we doing this, and why didn't they run the ball more? You know, but, you know, really, it's been just a terrible lack of execution all over the place. I mean, N'Keal Harry's terrible. Ryan Izzo's terrible. Damir Bird's a 3 or a 4. Jacoby Myers is a 3 or a 4. Cam Newton, he does not get... You need to operate this offense. You have to understand the concept of the play, why it's being called, and how the defense is going to react. And Cam Newton doesn't know any of those things. Even Josh Allen is way further advanced than Cam Newton is in terms of those things. And it's just, look, it hasn't been a good year for the offense. I just don't know how anybody can look at what they put on the field, look at the talent level at those positions other than the offensive line and running back, and then come screaming at Josh McDaniels saying that he's done a terrible job. I don't understand it.
And isn't it hard, you guys, I think, to be – it's always difficult for me over the years to be critical of anybody in that organization that's an assistant coach or in the front office, because – Bill does everything. His hands are in everything. He has the final say in everything. It's his philosophical views on everything. You know, the play calling is simple. My guess is because that's what Bill Belichick wants it to be. So it's hard for me to be critical of any assistant coach, any front office person there, anybody in scouting, when I know for a fact Bill Belichick runs all of it.
Sean in Dorchester, you're going to be the final call here with Greg Bedard this afternoon. Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Just one thing, are you guys concerned about J.C. Jackson moving forward? I mean, I know there's no pass rush, and I mean, Murray, how about Stephon Diggs? His numbers really jumped off the page there on Monday night. He had a hell of a game, but are you guys worried about J.C. Jackson?
Yeah, Diggs was good, and I know I continue to take a hell of a lot of crap because going into that first game, I was like, I don't know, I haven't seen it, because he had a dip there for like 3 straight games. Yeah. He's been phenomenal. He's been probably the biggest difference maker there. Jackson? He's not a number one. Like, that's my big takeaway from watching him this year, and especially in this game, Greg. I don't know about you.
Yeah, my question is, and I haven't answered this in my own mind, do you need a number one? Is he as good as Gilmore or Revis when they were here? No. Do you need that, or can you spread it around a little bit more? Yeah, possibly. I did not think he was that bad on Monday night. I thought he actually played pretty well for a while. The 50-yard touchdown pass was not all on him. You know, another example.
He needed safety help there. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Duggar was completely lost.
Yep.
There, he just all of a sudden. Yep. It's just what we're talking about with the mental errors and things like that, and just how these guys haven't progressed. I mean, on that play, first of all, it's a 3-step drop. It's the Patriots' staple bang action pass on a slant. Allen didn't like the initial window. It was only 3 steps. There's no pass rush anywhere. Allen is just able to sit back there. Oh, I'm going to wait for the second or third window. Meanwhile, Duggar's dropping back in coverage, just watching Allen. Mm-hmm. Has no sense to look at, is there a guy crossing that maybe I could help with? No, he just stands in the middle of the field. It was way too long to ask J.C. Jackson to cover in that circumstance. And it just, to me, that's scheme and execution and the Patriots just not being good enough up front.
Greg, always a pleasure, my friend.
See you, Greg.
Yeah, It's a blast. It's always fun with Ted. It's always fun with McTakey because I always look forward to his offensive football takes. So keep them coming, McTakey.
Yeah, they're offensive, apparently, Greg. Offensive. Yes. Good stuff. Always love being on with you, Greg. See you, man.
Talk to you in the post game after this game against the Jets on Sunday, and happy new year to you and yours, Greg. Yep.
All right. See you guys.
Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. All right, we have to turn our attention to the big news that just broke here within the last 20, 25 minutes. Zdeno Chara, no longer a Boston Bruin. We'll have that story for you here in the headlines. If you haven't heard yet, Matt McCarthy's going to get caught up with the latest in the news. And then we'll come back. We'll read you his Instagram post that he just put up in the last couple of minutes. Zdeno Chara. We'll also have Ty Anderson, 98.5sportsup.com, joining us as well to talk about this breaking story.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mass.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Coming to you from the Town Fair Tire Studio. It's Jim Murray, Ted Johnson, Matt McCarthy in my normal spot. And again, if you didn't hear that big breaking news there in the headlines, and it was over the last 20 minutes, Zdeno Chara no longer a Boston Bruin. He is signed with the Washington Capitals, and I just want to try to quickly read you his Instagram post. It's been confirmed from ZChara33 on Instagram, and then we'll get to Ty Anderson at 98.5sportshub.com. He writes, "My family and I have been so fortunate to call the great city of Boston our home for over 14 years. Recently, the Boston Bruins have informed me that they plan to move forward with their many younger and talented players, and I respect their decision. Unfortunately, my time as the proud captain of the Bruins has come to an end. I want to first thank all the passionate and loyal Bruins fans who shared the ups and downs of each season over the past 14 years. I'm proud that we were able to return Stanley Cup to Boston, and celebrating with all of you in Boston, New England, and all around the world was a moment I will never forget. You have all treated my family and me as one of your own, and I will always be grateful. Thank you. I would also like to thank all the Bruins staff, trainers, equipment staff, medical staff, blah, 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 blah. I want to thank the Jacobs family for the opportunity and represent the Bruins as their captain. I'm grateful and proud of everything we accomplished. To all my teammates over the years in Boston, I'm so lucky to have a lifetime of memories I'll never forget, from the highest highs to the lowest lows, and creamy middles. Don't forget about them." And he goes on.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.